Then everybody just sit down at the moment. I want you to go with me to the book of John, chapter 7. Hallelujah. Let us never underestimate God's love. It's for you that He sent Jesus. It's for you that Jesus died. It's for you that your name can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. It's for everyone. You know, I've grown up in church and cut my teeth on the Pentecostal pew benches of many churches across South Africa. But let me tell you something. There was something that I realized when revival came. There was something that I realized that I had to have an encounter. God needed to touch and change my life and set me free. You know, I remember as a little boy in our home back in South Africa, my mom and dad would have what we called Saturday night cottage prayer meetings, where it just meant everybody would come together and pray. And they'd pray from 6 in the evening till 2, 3, 4 in the next morning. And then still be at church on a Sunday morning. Hello? Just because they prayed till 2, 3, 4 in the morning doesn't mean to say they then slept in and missed church. Hello? And we saw the power of God flow in our home many, many times. I remember there was a time when my mom got hit by joy. This is back in probably the 60s, maybe early 70s. My mom got hit by joy. We didn't even know what it was. My dad says, "Don't worry about mom. She's just getting touched by the Lord." We had no clue about this joy. So we saw some of these manifestations, you know. I remember as little boys, you know, we would go into my mom. She used to do a lot of sewing, and we used to go into the sewing room, and she would be sewing then. Then, you know, I really used to follow my brother because he was a little older than me. But we used to kind of, you know, irritate mom a little. And then she would have some sayings. She would say, like, you know, you children drive me up the wall. I mean, I could never understand that one. And then she would say, you children are going to drive me to drink. And, you know, we didn't know, but that was prophetic. Jesus help me. Let me hold on here. Amen. That was prophetic. We did. We drove my mother to drink. Because she drinks of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. But we didn't know it was the new wine. Jesus, help me, please. But I feel the fire. I can tell right now the fire of God is in the house. Woo. Now, so I realized I needed to change. I needed God to come. I needed an encounter with God. I mean, I got saved when I was like 4 years old, and then I got saved probably 100 times again. Because every time we'd show up at church on a Sunday, then our preacher would preach so well, you could smell the sulfur and feel the flames, and we'd go like, "My God, I think we're going to hell." And so we'd raise our hands and come down and get saved. And I don't know what a, you know, 4 or 5 year old, how much he could actually sin that would take him out of where he is and take him to hell. Hello. But I'd respond, and my brother would respond, and we'd come down and get saved. We came down so many times to get saved. They're one of the deacons. And some churches are deacon possessed. You know what I mean? So the deacon actually said to my dad, "You need to stop your boys from going down." Sometimes it was just the two of us. But the pastor would use the two of us to pry other people loose. You know, like, if these children can come to Jesus. And then there'd be some adults out there, tear-eyed, and they come down to the front and come and join us. You know, so the preacher, he would use us to pry people out of the pew to get us down there. So I don't think he minded us coming down, because at least he had somebody in the altar call. Amen. Even if it was the brown boys. But this deacon came to my dad and said, you need to stop your boys from going down. You know, it's kind of an embarrassment. Every Sunday they're going down to get saved. You need to stop them from doing that. And my dad said to them, he said this, he said, when my boys get it, they won't go anymore. In other words, what he was saying, when they have a revelation of their salvation, then they won't go down to get saved anymore. Hello. And I can tell you right now, when that revelation came, I haven't responded and I don't have any inclination to respond to an altar call. I hear altar calls all the time and I don't feel like, oh my God, should I get saved now? What? I mean, I know of a preacher who was preaching in his own meeting and he gave an altar call and then he stepped down and stood in the front with his hand raised like this. He answered his own altar call, a preacher. He answered his own altar call. Hello. I mean, at least he made right with Jesus. I'm okay with that. But my God, come on. But I came to the realization, even though I'd grown up in this atmosphere, and listen, we saw great outpourings of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, back in those days, Pentecostal churches really were Pentecostal churches. I don't know in America, but I know in South Africa, I can tell you right now, we had a Holy Ghost meetings. There were some Sunday night meetings where everybody in the house is on the floor. Power of God's all over the house. Are you listening to me? And so we grew up in that kind of an atmosphere. But let me tell you what, unless I was changed by the power of God, whatever I saw didn't mean anything. Because I had to have that encounter myself. Do you know that my wife and I, if she has an encounter with God, but I don't, that encounter is probably not going to affect me to a closer walk with God. Are you listening? I can't go to the throne room of grace on the encounter that my wife has. I've got to go to the throne room of grace on the encounter that I have. Even though God works over everybody, God's very individual. He works with every individual person and he wants to touch every. There's not a person that God doesn't want to touch. There's not a person that God doesn't want to use. Yes, God wants to use you. Come on now. There's an army that God's raising up in these last days, and it's an army of believers that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are on fire for God, that won't compromise the word, that'll get out there and speak boldly, proclaim the word of God with boldness, just like they did in the book of Acts. I'm in the army. Hello? Notice I didn't say I'm in the Marines. Because I think God figures the army is good enough. Sorry, sir. We've got a Marine sitting on the front row here, and I don't want to offend him. Amen. Or he beat me up when I walk out the parking lot tonight. I don't know. But, you know, God calls in an army. He's raising up an army of believers. We are the army of God. We're going to carry the fire revival and carry the anointing. Carry the sword of the Spirit and the word of the truth of God across this nation and around the world. And great signs and wonders and miracles are going to happen. I'm telling you, we are sitting on the verge of something supernatural that God's about to bust loose. And when he does it, I'm telling you right now, there's not going to be one Christian left untouched. Even the dead churches, God's going to go and shake them up. Watch and see. Watch and see what God does. Hello? That's why I'm glad we're in a church that's alive. Come on now. Don't let me down on that one. That was close, Brother Charlie. John chapter 7 verse 37 says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Is there anybody here tonight that's thirsty? Is there anybody that's desperate for the things of God? Because all you have to do is come unto him and drink. Drink. We are in the presence of God Almighty. All you have to do is place a demand upon the anointing. Like blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In other words, you are going to shout out to God, tonight is my night, I'm not leaving the same way I came. But I'm going to leave changed by the power of Almighty God. Listen, it's not up to God. It's up to you. It's up to you. If there's something that God wants to do, is He wants to set the captive free. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the anointing of God upon us. That's why when we welcome the Holy Spirit, He moves amongst the people, wanting to set the captive free. You know, you cannot, and we've dealt with this a lot in South Africa, with people that have, you know, demonic influence on their life. Now, you know, as a Christian, I can't be possessed because I actually have Jesus in me, but I can be oppressed. But there's some people that are possessed of the devil, and we operated, you know, a lot in that back in South Africa. But let me tell you something. Every time we came in encounter with a devil, listen, there wasn't a time that they didn't get set free. Are you listening to me? In actual fact, when we had a demon manifest in the meeting, it would actually make me laugh because I knew the end result. I knew the end result. And I've had demons literally stare at me with a hatred that I've never seen before. And I would look at them and I would just laugh and go, you know what, you're coming out. Hello, you're coming out. You cannot stay there. That's not your house. Hello. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So I know what was inside of me. That's why we could take that step of faith and see the captive being set free. Are you listening to me? I mean, if you're going to go and mess around in that area, you better know who you are, and you better know that you're carrying the power of God on the inside of you. You better know the Word. Hello, you don't want to find that out in the fight. Are you listening to me? That's not something that we're afraid of. It's not something that we back off of. It's not something that we cower down to. Because you have to understand that the devil is already a defeated foe. He's already been stripped of all his power and authority. The keys of hell, death, and the grave was taken away from him by Jesus Christ. Hello? If there's anything in our future and in our present, it's victory. If there's anything in our future and our present, it's breakthrough. Because of what Jesus has already done. He said, come unto me and drink. The Bible says out of verse 37, he said, he that believeth on me, is there anybody that believes on him? Listen to this carefully. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Out of our belly. Where are these rivers of living water coming from? They're coming from the throne room of grace. They're flowing into us, and then they're flowing through us into the hearts and lives of others to set the captive free. It's not one river, but it's multiple rivers, because there are multiple anointings that flow from the throne room of grace. God doesn't want us to just walk around with one anointing. He wants us to walk around with the rivers of living water flowing through our belly. So no matter what you come across, there's an anointing to heal. There's an anointing to save. There's an anointing to deliver. There's an anointing for joy. There's an anointing for prosperity. Hello. There's an anointing for peace. Are you listening to me? It's just for us, up to us to get tapped in and grab a hold of what heaven's doing and say, here I am, Lord. I want to be that pure and that holy vessel. Come and change me on the inside. I don't want to be the same. Come change me. Come change me. See, I cried out to God. I said that very same thing. I don't want to be the same. I want you to change me. I want you to fill me up, and I never want to be the same again. And let me tell you what, God did just that. The encounter that I had in Ketchikan, Alaska in January of 93, that encounter that I had was a life transformation. It was like a road to Damascus experience. It was like I ran into the Holy Ghost and He totally transformed my life. But I yielded to Him, and I said on the way, on the flight there, I said, God, you have to touch me. Something's got to change on the inside of me. I cannot remain the same. See, God called us to America, and He said back in South Africa, He said, I'm going to send you to America, and you're going to carry the fires of revival across the nation. That's what he told me. He said, you're going to carry the fires of revival. I didn't even have the fires of revival. But God knew I was going to have an encounter with him in January, and he was going to drop a fire within me. And I cried out to God on the way to Ketchikan, Alaska. And let me tell you what, the second week of those two-week meetings on a Tuesday night, I'm just minding my own business. It's 9:15 in the evening. My hands are raised. I'm worshiping the Lord. And let me tell you what, the power of God fell on me. I mean, the glory of God hit me. People were all over the floor, drunk in the Holy Ghost. Power of God hit me. My brother walked over, laid hands on me. Power of God hit me, spun me around, and I fell on my face. Now, I saw an angel that night. Now, let me tell you what. Don't try to see an angel. I didn't try to see an angel. I know people that have tried to see angels, and what they saw wasn't an angel. Are you listening to me? We're not looking for angels. We're seeking the face of Jesus. Let me say this, and look, I have a lot of angels around me right now. They are with me everywhere I go. So angels, I'm sorry if I do offend you in any way yet tonight, but let me tell you what, I would rather see the face of Jesus than the face of an angel. Hello? Are you listening to me? Some people want to see the supernatural. They want to see angels. They want to see demons. I've seen them all. I've seen demons, and I've seen angels. Are you listening to me? Demons you don't want to see. I've seen them. I've seen them running around the house. I've seen them. But you don't want to see them. Are you listening to me? And I've often asked the Lord, why do you let me see these things? And he never tells me why, but then he'll show me something else. And then he'll show me something else. I'm like, look, I don't really want to see the demons or the angels. And then he'll show me another one. Are you listening to me? But the bottom line is this, I don't look for them. Some people look for demons under everything. Hello? So the bottom line is this, that night, you know, I'm lying on the floor. It's like I stepped right under my body and looked around, saw everybody on the floor, saw myself on the floor, everybody on the floor under the power of God. And then the Lord took my attention and showed me an angel standing in the front of the church. And that angel made his way to me amongst the people. He walked amongst the people and he stood right above my head. And I can only describe like this. He had a vase, or you say a vase. It's the same thing, amen. He had a vase in his hand. And he began to pour out, and I can only describe it like this. It looked like oil that you poured into your engine, that golden color, but it was as thick as honey. I call it a rich golden honey-like substance. He began to pour it into me, and the more he poured it into me, the drunker I got. And it was like God was removing everything that was in me that night that was stale, that was old, that was tired, that was weary, that was beat up. He was moving it out of me, and he was filling me up with fresh oil from heaven. That all started at about 9:15 in the evening. And let me tell you what, God appeared to me that night and shared some things with me and showed me some things that were going to happen in the ministry. And showed me what was going to come down the road. And then the Lord said this to me. He said, I'm putting a fire within you. And he said, everywhere you go, you'll find hungry and thirsty people. He said, when you lay your hands on those hungry and thirsty people, he said, that same fire would fall upon them. Because you see, all we're doing is carrying the fires of revival to deposit it into the hearts and lives of other believers who would grab a hold of it, who can then take that fire and go and give it out somewhere else. It's about multiplying revival. That's what it is. It's about multiplying the move of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? I can only give you what I got. I can't give you what I don't have. So I needed to have that encounter with God. You know, that night, and I was always afraid. I mean, I ministered back in South Africa some and in America, you know, before that, 93. But let me say this. God took away the fear of man. I was always afraid of what people thought. Now I don't care what they think. I'm more concerned about what does God think. Because when I walk out of this meeting tonight and I get back in that back room and I'm on the way home or whatever, I talk to God and I talk to the Holy Spirit and I find out, did I do everything you wanted me to do in this meeting tonight? Did I fulfill what you wanted me to fulfill? I never want to hear God say, no, you didn't do what I told you to do. Hello? So if I do what God wants me to do, I do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, how can I do what man tells me to do? So I can't have the fear of God and the fear of man. I've got to have either one or the other. Are you listening to me? Before revival came, before God transformed my life, there were people that didn't like me. Then God transformed my life, and there were still people that didn't like me. You know, maybe different people, but there were still people that didn't like me. But I like myself a whole lot more. Hello? I'm much happier than what I was before revival. Hello? My life's been changed and touched by the power of Almighty God. It's not the same as what it was before revival. So I'll take it. Oh, you listen to me? I'll take it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm just trying to function through the unction. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that night I had this transformation. Saw the angel. God took away the fear of man, dropped fire within me. You know, I was on the floor from 9:15 until about 1:30 the next morning. It wasn't like a typical Pentecostal, you know, you fall in the power of God, 5 minutes later you go up and sit back in your seat. It was hours under the power of God. But listen, that's when the transformation came. And it took me 3 days after that just to be in a place where I felt like I could actually eat food again. I mean, I couldn't even eat food. I'd sit in the restaurant, put a piece of fish on my fork and take it and stick it in my cheek. I couldn't even feed myself. I was so drunk. Oh, you listen to me. In actual fact, I didn't even want food. Food wasn't even important to me because I was so in the presence of God. It was just amazing. The next morning, I showed up at the morning service and it felt like I was standing in a pocket of the glory of God. It's like I was wrapped around with the glory and the presence of God. It was like the very atmosphere around me was alive. But that encounter that I had with God that night transformed my life and literally set the foundation for what we do still today. Set the foundation for what God does through our ministry. Are you listening to me? If I had it to do all over again, I'd go down the same road. Because I love that encounter that God gave me, and my life has never been the same. I stand here tonight because of the encounter and the touch of God upon my life. That's the only reason why I stand here tonight. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Oh, you listen to me. Hello. I stand here because I got hungry and thirsty and I pressed in one night for the touch of heaven upon my life and God transformed my life and set me free. I go back to January of 93 saying that night, that Tuesday night, God transformed my life. But let me tell you what, there were many times after that through the year of 93 that I spent many hours on the floor as we would travel across the nation. I was working for my brother and there was many hours that I spent on the floor under the power of God. That year of 93 was a year of transformation. And then 94 on the road, as we left on the road on our own, let me tell you what, 94 was a year of transformation and 95 and 96. It still is. 2017, there's still a transformation going on the inside of me. God's still doing a work on the inside of me. Because why? Because I'm still hungry and I'm still thirsty and I'm still pressing in. I'm still going to Jesus and I'm still drinking of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. And I don't care what God does over the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't care if we're packing out stadiums. Let me tell you what. I'll still be hungry. I'll still be thirsty. I'll still be pressing in for more of God for me. Why? Because the more God gives me, the more He can give through me. The more He can change me, the more He can use me. Whew, hallelujah. I tell you, I preach myself drunk here tonight. I'm only looking sober for your benefit. But if I had half a chance, I'd look like some of you. But then I wouldn't be able to function. Amen. So I only look like some of you. I mean, I only look like this because it's for your benefit. You know, folks, we can play church all day long. We can go through the motions, play church, and build something that looks pretty. But the moment God shows up, everything that's not of God is gone. Only that which is God of God is going to stand. Hello? So I'd rather build whatever God wants done. And if we start off with a handful of people and then God builds from there, as long as God's doing it, then I'm happy. Because I found if I build it, it comes to nothing. But when God's involved, then it stands. It stands. I mean, there's so many people that have been touched through our ministry. Many I don't even know. Some contact me years after the fact and say, man, we're in another nation. And God touched us in your meetings and transformed our life. And we pioneered a church over here. And we're pastoring over here. And we're traveling the nation. And I'm like, gee, I don't even know who you are. But that's okay. Hello? See, we don't know what's going on in the hearts and lives of believers. We don't know when we see people on the floor drunk in the Holy Ghost, full of the joy of the Lord. People say, oh, there goes that joy stuff again. Oh, my God. I mean, they're always happy. What's the problem? God's doing a transformation. That's what he's doing. Bible says laughter is like a medicine. Obviously, they just need a lot of medication. Hello. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. I've seen people come down to the altar and weep. And now they'll come and weep for weeks on end, and then suddenly the joy hits them. That's okay too. I don't mind. However God does it in you, that's fine with me. Just remember that joy comes in the morning, so you can weep tonight, but you will get joy. You will end up with joy. Hello. When the world looks at the church, they should see something different about us. They should be attracted towards us. In actual fact, when the world get around us, they should feel like something is different. Hello? I've been in restaurants before, after revival meetings, sitting waiting for a waitress to come, and she just didn't, you know, never arrived at our table for like 35 minutes, and we had no water, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're tired. And she keeps making a beeline for our table, then turning away and going back into the kitchen. Then she come back out again, do the same thing. And I just saw her one time, and I looked at her. I said, lady, come here. And she came over to me, and I said, are you our waitress? She goes, yes. I said, I've seen you make a run at the table like three times. And I said, we've been here for like 35 minutes. We're thirsty. We're hungry. I said, what's the problem? Why don't you come serve us? She said, every time I walk up to the table, she said, I want to laugh. I looked at her, I said, do I look funny? She said, no, it's got nothing to do with you. I don't know what it is, but every time I come up to this table, I want to laugh. I know what it is. I know what it is. We were in a restaurant at about 11:30 one night up in Wisconsin in a country town. And the place was empty, maybe one or two people at other tables. We're sitting eating, about 8 or 10 pastors and their wives, and power of God is all over the table. I mean, we were drunk. We were having church in the restaurant. I mean, it was after a night meeting, and let me tell you what, that place filled up with, there must have been students, college students from a game or something, but that restaurant filled up to capacity. I mean, there wasn't a seat open. And let me tell you what, I took my focus off the table and looked around the restaurant, and it looked like I was in church with a whole bunch of drunk Christians, because everybody across the place, at every table, they were all laughing. I mean, just laughing. And then we'll look at our table, and then we'll just laugh like crazy. And then look back at our table, and we'll laugh like crazy. And I thought, my God, what am I in here? What's going on here? I thought we were in a restaurant on, you know, somewhere, but it looks like I'm in church. And I'm about to slide under the table, and I thought, well, before I get under the table, you know, let me go pay the bill. So I grabbed the bill, and I staggered over to the counter, which is kind of in a foyer area just on the side of the restaurant, and I went to go pay the bill, and I'm standing there, and there's nobody to help me, and I'm standing at the cashier's table, and I heard a man behind me, And he said this, he said, sir, he said, you shouldn't do this in a public place. And I turned myself around to look at the guy, and he was standing behind me, and he was laughing uncontrollably. And he looked at me and I said, what do you mean? I shouldn't do what in a public place? What am I doing? He said, listen, we come into this place to eat a meal, and then we look over at your table and you guys are laughing so much, and then we start to laugh too. We don't even know why we're laughing. But we're laughing and we look at you, we laugh some more, we look at you, we laugh some more. Please, next time, could you please stand up in the restaurant and then tell everybody what you're laughing at so we know why you're laughing? And I didn't have it in me to say, look, sir, I'll be honest with you, there's no reason. It's called the joy of the Lord. Amen. There's no reason for the joy, because when the joy comes, it comes. Whether you're having a tough time, a rough day, a bad week, a bad month, it doesn't matter. When the joy comes, it just elevates you above all that stuff, and it bubbles out your belly. And people look at you at your toughest time, and you'll be the happiest person on the block, and they'll think you've lost your marbles. Hello. But you're just full of the joy of the Lord. Listen, we serve a radical God. The day of Pentecost was radical. The coming of the Holy Spirit was radical. Hello. Church should not be a quiet place. You know, in South Africa, you drive down the streets in the suburbs and that, and you'll see when you come past the church, there's a signboard, and it says, Silence Church. And that's really what the church is. The church is silent. Preacher gets up on a Sunday morning, you can hear a pin drop. If you listen carefully, you can hear a couple of snorings going on. Hello. It's dead. It's dry. There's nothing going on. The world look at us on television and wonder what's going on in the church. Look how dead they are. Hello. Why should we get up and preach another message and then don't see the demonstration of the power of God? Come on. Why don't we see the power of God falling on the church today? Because the preacher doesn't want that to happen. Otherwise, it might take away from what he's trying to do. Hey, I'm not trying to do anything. I have no agenda, no plan. I'm not trying to do anything. There's no pressure on me whatsoever. Listen, if we have a dead meeting tonight, it's too late, but if we have a dead meeting tonight, it's not going to be my fault. It'd be the Holy Ghost that left early, and it won't be my fault. Because I can tell you right now, I show up and tell the Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, we'll have a dead meeting because I ain't going to do anything. Hello? So either you move or I'm just going to stand around and I'll wait for you. I don't care. People can leave and go. I'll just stand over here and wait. But he shows up every time. He shows up in the worship and you feel the presence of God. And let me tell you what, God's in the house. God's in the house. Holy Spirit is already moving amongst people. I bet you there's a few angels out here with Holy Ghost baseball bats. About to swat some of you up the side of the head. I just heard an angel shout, batter up! They're coming your way. I'm telling you right now, your number's up. Imagine having an encounter with God that when you travel the nation and the world, you have to say back in 2017, in the month of March, God transformed my life, changed my life, and I've never been the same since. That's what will happen. That's the testimony that will come out. In the month of March in 2017, I was at Calvary Cathedral. There was some albino African that was there preaching, some crazy guy preaching. And the power of God hit me, transformed my life and changed my life. I think his name's Basil, but he sounds like Rodney. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm confused. So it's very hard for me to receive from him. Amen. It's just about placing a demand on the anointing. That's all it is. And here's the thing about God. He's not a respecter of persons. So he's not hand-selecting people because of the way you look, because of the way you talk, because of the way you walk, maybe because you drive a nice car, live in a nice home, have a big dog, and have money in the bank. Oh, I can use you. No, God's just looking for hungry and thirsty people that'll lay everything on the altar and say, come use me. And when you do that, he changes you on the inside. He brings about a transformation on the inside. Everywhere we've gone, we've seen people being transformed by the power of Almighty God. And I contend for this every meeting. I contend. I tell the Holy Spirit, I want you to show up tonight and move amongst the people. And listen, do whatever you want to do. That's what I tell him every meeting. I say, show up, do whatever you want to do. I said, it's not about me, it's about you. See, some people, they slip into the seat and hide in the back row, and hopefully they don't get seen. But I can tell you right now, the Holy Spirit don't know front row and doesn't know a back row. Are you listening to me? I said he doesn't know a front row and he doesn't know a back row. But he looks for the heart. I said he looks for the heart. I said he looks for the heart. My God, if only I could be sitting in the reserved section of this church. My Jesus. If only I could be sitting in the reserved section. I'm sure there's something holy about the reserved section. Those people in the reserved section, I'm sure God's going to look at them and go, they are the ones I've got to pick. They're in the reserved section. Listen, I've been to conferences before, and I've sat in the reserved section with ministers, and I've looked up in the bleachers, and I've seen people drunk in the Holy Ghost, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to go sit up in the bleachers, because these preachers, they have no clue about joy. They don't know how to drink. I'm going to go sit up with those people, because they know how to drink. Hello? It's like the preacher's worried that his hair might get roughed up a little bit. I don't care. I don't have much hair to be roughed up. And I come with it roughed up anyway. Amen. It's just hair. Amen. Some of you don't have to worry about hair at all. I mean, it's just, it's an amazing experience for you. But it's all about a hunger and a desperation. And look, I can't get hungry for you, but I can try to preach you hungry. But I can't get hungry for you. You have to get hungry for yourself. My thing is this. I want everything that God has for me and then some. I'm not satisfied yet. Oh, I'm very happy with what God's done in my life over the years, but I'm not satisfied yet. I'm placing a demand upon the anointing. Why? Because I want more of Him. What we have to do in these last days, I'm telling you right now, it's going to take people that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are on fire, that will not compromise the Word of God. It's going to take people that know who God is. They're going to know Jesus, and they're going to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what it's going to take in these last days. We see stuff going up on in the Middle East and Christians being slaughtered. Let me tell you what. What are you going to do if it comes to our shores? Thank God for our president, and thank God there's a staying force right now that's going to hold a lot of this stuff back. But let me tell you what. It's not always going to be like that. That's why we got to hit this thing as hard as we can while we can. And let the fire of God and the Holy Spirit touch the hearts and lives of people so God can raise up an army that's full of the Holy Ghost that doesn't have a fear of man or what man might do unto them. And that's what it's going to take. You know, you can kill me. I'll just be with Jesus. Hello. You might end up in hell, but I'll just be with Jesus. Hello. My gain, your loss. Hello. When you kill me, I know somebody else is going to come and hunt you down. She might look soft and tender, but I can tell her right now. She knows how to handle an AR-15. And an AK-47. And a machete. Honey, I better teach you quickly. I don't want to be a liar. Hallelujah. Revival, that's what it's about. God's going to move. In these last days, God's going to move. We're all going to be a part of this. I'm telling you now. Do you know that it doesn't matter what church you're from. We've been in revival where we've seen 120 different denominations come in. From Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Anglican, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, Assembly of God, Church of God, Church of Christ in God, Church of Christ in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, of the Holy Saints, of Mother Mary. I mean, we've seen them all. We've had churches that have had such long names that I'm like, could you not read a book? Just give us the name. I mean, don't read the book. Just give us the name. And they all sit there, and you can see in the worship and the praise and the worship, they all worship differently. You know, Pentecostals raise their hand and worship this way. You know, Methodists might do this, or they might do this, or Baptists are this. They're half-mast people. They don't raise their hand the whole way up, you know. Some are speaking in tongues, some are not. And you can see the difference in worship. But when the Holy Ghost falls on people, and they all get drunk in the Holy Ghost, then you can't tell the Baptist and the Methodist and the Catholic and Presbyterian. You can't tell the difference between them. They all look the same. They all look the same. Why? Because they're all drunk on the same spirit. Amen. When somebody gets happy and somebody else gets happy, they all look the same. When they get drunk, they all look the same. They all act the same. They talk the same. They walk the same. Hello? And that's what God has to come and do to the church. He's got to get the whole church drunk. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm not talking about this one and that one. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. God needs to come and get us all drunk. So we all look the same. We all talk the same. We all walk with the same purpose. Hello? And I've said this for many years. Listen, if the Pentecostals don't wake up in these last days, God will raise up the Baptists. God will raise up the Methodist. God will raise up the Anglican. I've been in Pentecostal churches where we had an Anglican church come in, bring a whole lot of the people into that meeting. Listen, the Anglican people, power of God hit that church. The Anglican people out of their pews running the aisles. I'd look at, you know, the minister in the front row. I'm like, what about them, Anglican? And the Pentecostals were like this. And the Anglicans are running around like crazy people, full of the Holy Ghost, drunk in the Holy Ghost, couldn't care about anything else. Are you listening to me? When you have a priest running around that you don't know whether he's coming or going because of his collar, I'm telling you right now, you better know God's in the house. Amen. And that's what God does. He doesn't care what you are, what you're from, where you're from, what color your skin is, how educated you are, what church you go to. He doesn't care about any of this stuff. He looks at your heart and says, you know what? You're hungry. Come. Shh. Fire. Come. Shh. Fire. And then suddenly your life's transformed by the power of God. You're on the floor as a Methodist, drunker than a Pentecostal. The only thing that God has a difficulty working with is religion. Because religion tries to control what God wants, and religion wants the structure. See, religion, you see, we already blew it because religion would be out. It's already too late for religion.
Yeah,
no,
that's right.
If your church starts on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and by 11:15 you are already in the restaurant, you are standing with a bunch of religious people. Because religion gets to the buffet line well before the on-fire church of God. Are you listening to me? And I tell people, listen, on a Sunday morning, just spend time in the presence of God. If you get to the restaurant at 1:30 or 2, hey, it's clear. You can walk in, get a seat, sit down, and eat. You've had fun with God. Now you're going to have fun with some food. Otherwise, you end up with the Baptists and Methodists and the Catholics, and you've got to stand in line for like 2 hours waiting. Hello. So why don't we just take another drink and wait a while longer, and then at least when we get to the restaurant, we can get a seat. Hello. Hallelujah. I don't want to limit God in anything he does. I said, I don't want to limit him in anything he does. I don't want to give God a time frame. Hello? I've asked pastors on Sunday morning, when I do a Sunday morning service, what time do you normally get out? Some say, oh, very, very much like 12 o'clock, that's it. Some go, well, normally 12 o'clock, but we don't care. You can go to 1. You can go to 1:30 if you want. Now there are some people that do care. And they leave at 12. Hello? Listen, we've had revival meetings where some of the greatest breakthroughs we've had have been at 10:30 at night, when we've lost some of the religion and some of the people got up and left because it was a little too late and we got to go home. And then they walk out the door and suddenly, wind of the Spirit blows through the place and the fire God falls, and I'm like, my God, why didn't they leave a little earlier? We had to wait till 10:30 for them to leave so God can move. What's up with that? Now, I'd rather have them stay and jump in the river, but my God, don't sit there and hold back what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Come here, both of you. You guys are still on honeymoon. Come right over here. Lift your hands to heaven. Lord, they come back here for a reason and a purpose. I pray, Lord God, tonight the wind of the Spirit blow through them. Let a fresh fire, let a fresh anointing fall upon them. Bring an increase of the anointing upon their life and upon their ministry. In the name of Jesus. That's it there. That's it there. Lord, I'm talking about drunk. I'm talking about drunker than a skunk. Drunk. I say drunk. I say drunk. I say drunk. 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 Couples that drink together stay together. Drunk. Drunk. You can hallelujah on the way home. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Jesus. Fill them up, Jesus. Fill them up, Lord. Saturate their very being, Lord. Let them have an encounter with you, Jesus. Let the wind of your Spirit blow through their lives, Lord. Let the wind of the Spirit blow through their ministry. Let a fresh fire fall upon them, Jesus, like never before. Let them become carriers of the fire of revival in these last days. That everywhere they go, they shake up a school, they shake up churches, they shake up whole areas by the power of Almighty God. Ho! Let it be so. Jesus' mighty name. Fire of the Holy Ghost. People say, why did you put your foot on him? I just didn't feel like bending down. Amen. For some of you short people, your knuckles are already dragging on the carpet. For me, it's a long way down. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. I want every head bowed, every eye closed just for a couple of minutes. I want to give people an invitation yet this evening. Maybe you've come into this place tonight. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you what, you're not here by chance. This is not just happens to be a place you're here tonight. You're here by divine appointment with God Almighty. If you were to die right now, where would you go? If you cannot say heaven without a shadow of a doubt, then this invitation is for you. You need to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you're here tonight and you have given your heart to the Lord, but you're not serving Him like you should be. You need to rededicate your life. Make a fresh start tonight. I want to include you in this prayer. Maybe you've come into this place and you have given your heart to the Lord, but the devil keeps lying to you, telling you you're not saved. Tonight you can make sure of your salvation. You do not have to live in that torment any longer. I want to include you in this prayer tonight. On any one of those three invitations, either you need to give your heart to Jesus for the very first time, rededicate your life, or make sure of your salvation right across this building. If you can just slip your hand up and then just keep it up so I can see who you are. Thank you. Just keep it up for me just a moment. Anyone else, quickly slip your hand up right across this building. I really feel God's still tugging at the hearts of people. He's still talking to people right now. Some of you, there's some of you, you need to make right with Jesus in this place. Tonight's your night. Tonight is your night. Don't worry about what people say. One day you have to stand before Jesus and give account of your life, and nobody's going to stand in your place. One last opportunity this evening on any one of those invitations. Either give your heart to Jesus for the first time, rededicate your life, or make sure of your salvation. You haven't raised your hand yet. Quickly, I want you to slip it up quickly for me. Slip it up quickly for me. Right across this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Let me tell you what, it's not about joining a church. It's about joining the family of the Lord. That's what it's about. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody, you can look at me quickly. This gentleman over here in the blue. Come here, sir. Come here. You raised your hand. Come here. Come stand down here in front with me. I'm going to pray with you and for you. If there's anyone else that needs to come down, come. If there's anyone else that needs to come, come. Hallelujah. Let me say this. If it was just for him that we showed up here this evening, then the whole meeting is worth it. Amen. If it was just for him, then the whole meeting is worth it. Amen. Hallelujah. So everyone else that's sitting out there in the seat, that you have no doubt, nothing whatsoever. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If Jesus came right now or you died right now, you know that you'd go to be with him. Is that what you're saying to me? Huh? You know, all we can do is give the invitation and then it's for you to respond. And here's the thing, you'll never be able to stand before God one day and say, I never had the opportunity, because he'll remind you of tonight. Amen. And here's the thing about eternity, it's forever. And once eternity comes around and meets you, it's forever. Are you listening to me? It's forever. It's forever. Come stand right over here. You can't turn the clock back on eternity. So if your life is not right with God, then this is an opportunity to come. And listen, don't worry about what other people think. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. You might say, well, I've been a part of a church for 5 years or 2 years or 10 years or whatever. What if I go down there? What are people going to think? It doesn't matter what they think. It's between you and God. That's what it's between. Because yes, what's going to happen? You're going to stand before God one day, and it's really going to matter about what He thinks. Amen. So I'm just going to pause for one more moment. I still feel God's talking to people. I still feel He's tugging at people's hearts. It's a good time to come. Right now, it's a good time to come. I said it's a good time to come. I don't know your walk with God. I have no clue. But God knows. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for everybody that's out here. Lord God, that not one person in this place will miss heaven, Lord. Not one person in this place, Jesus, will miss heaven. Hallelujah. Guess what I'm going to do? Both of you down front, just look at me quickly, both of you. I'm going to pray a prayer with you and for you. I'm going to have the whole congregation stretch your hands out towards you, and they're all going to pray together. And we're going to believe, God, tonight, that tonight is a night of change. Amen. So raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Stretch your hands out towards these folks. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Change me, Lord. Let me never be the same again. I thank you, Lord, from this moment on, that you are my Father and I am your child. And when you come back for me, Lord Jesus, I'll be ready and waiting. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for making me whole, for setting me completely free. Use me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No, 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 don't go away. Don't go away. What's happening? Something going on the inside of you? You feel the anointing? Well, I know something's happening. I can see that. I saw something happening on you in the meeting. It's good stuff. You know, what's happening is it's the love of Jesus that's resting on you. It's the anointing of God that's resting on you. You know why? Because He wants to transform you on the inside. Because He has a plan for you. Just like He has a plan for you. God has a plan for all of us. Amen. So, guess what I'm going to do? Is there somebody that's going to take them back for a moment? All right, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to line up everybody and pray for them. I want to pray for both of you right after you come back from this gentleman over here. So if you can turn and just follow him quickly, just for 1 minute. You bring you right back in the meeting. I'm going to lay hands on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me help you up, bro. Lord, give him another dose of the Holy Ghost. Another dose of the Holy Ghost. I never help people off the floor. I only put them down there. I never help you off the floor. If ever I help you off the floor, it's to put you back down there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.